The 15th verse of the Tao Te Ching. Quote, "The ancient masters were profound and subtle. Their wisdom was unfathomable. There is no way to describe it. One can only describe them vaguely by their appearance. Watchful, like men crossing a winter stream, alert, like men aware of danger, simple as uncarved wood, hollow like caves, yielding like ice about to melt, amorphous like muddy water. But the muddiest water clears as it is stilled, and out of that stillness life arises. He who keeps the Tao does not want to be full, but precisely because he is never full, he can remain like a hidden sprout and does not rush to early ripening." Unquote. Living an unhurried life. This 15th verse speaks of ancient masters who enjoyed an indescribably profound level of cooperation with their world. Lao Tzu uses similes to dramatize the flexible and peaceful lives of these sages. Imagine crossing an icy winter stream that might crack at any moment, remaining cautious and watchful, while at the same time alert to imminent danger. These descriptors paint a picture of those who live unhurriedly, but are also in a profoundly aware state. Consider the two ways of being presented in this verse of the Tao Te Ching. First, to meld into, and therefore become at one with, your immediate surroundings. And then, simultaneously, stay so relaxed that your stillness allows all things around you to settle, resulting in a deep clarity. Keep alert and subtly aware, and at the same time, stay still within, not rushing or demanding, but totally in charge of your inner world. This passage of the Tao reminds me of these words of the Bible, "Be still and know that I am God," from Psalms 46:10. The place of your origination is stillness, from which all of creation comes. Stay in a creative, simple state, which Lao Tzu describes as uncarved wood, symbolizing beginner's mind and unlimited potential. Have a mind that's willing to flow with life and be shaped by the eternal forces of the Tao. See yourself as all of these things mentioned in this 15th verse of the Tao: watchful, yet relaxed and peaceful, alert, yet unhurried and confident, yielding, yet willing to be still and wait for the waters to become clear. This verse reminds you that through nature, everything ultimately becomes clear. Your purpose is to stay in harmony with nature, like the sprout hidden beneath the surface of the ground, waiting unhurriedly to emerge and fulfill its destiny. It cannot be rushed, nor can anything in nature. Creation takes place on its own timetable. The metaphor is clear here for you as well. You are unfolding in divine order. All that you require will be provided in an unhurried fashion. Let go of your demands and trust in the perfect unfolding of the Tao. Be in a state of watchful gratitude and aligned with the way. In attempting to access the mind and intentions of Lao Tzu through meditation and research on the Tao Te Ching, here's what I believe he would say to us today. First, stop chasing your dreams. Allow them to come to you in perfect order with unquestioned timing. Slow down your frantic pace and practice being hollow like the cave and open to all possibilities like the uncarved wood. Make stillness a regular part of your daily practice. Imagine all that you'd like to experience in life and then let go. Trust the Tao to work in divine perfection as it does with everything on the planet. You don't really need to rush or force anything. Be an observer and receiver rather than the pushy director of your life. It is through this unhurried unfolding that you master your existence in the way of the Tao. And secondly, get in the flow of life and allow yourself to proceed gently down the stream. Give up the struggling and start trusting in the wisdom of the Tao. What is yours will come to you when you aren't trying to push the river. You've probably been encouraged to actively direct and go after all of your desires all of your life. Now it's time to trust in the eternal wisdom that flows through you. The way of life according to Lao Tzu, translated by Witterbeiner in 1944, poetically sums up this 15th verse of the Tao in this way. Quote, "How can a man's life keep its course if he will not let it flow? Those who flow as life flows know, they need no other force. They feel no wear, they feel no tear, they need no mending, no repair." Unquote. Great advice for living an unhurried life. Do the Tao now. Stop right now. take 10 minutes to sit quietly while contemplating all that you have and all that is flowing into your life on a divinely orchestrated timetable. Be at peace and give thanks for what is allowing your life to unfold so perfectly. Let go of all other hurried thoughts. The 16th verse of the Tao Te Ching, quote, "Become totally empty. Let your heart be at peace. Amidst the rush of worldly comings and goings, observe how endings become beginnings. Things flourish each by each, only to return to the source, to what is and what is to be. To return to the root is to find peace. To find peace is to fulfill one's destiny. To fulfill one's destiny is to be constant. To know the constant is called insight. Not knowing this cycle leads to eternal disaster. Knowing the constant gives perspective. This perspective is impartial. Impartiality is the highest nobility. The highest nobility is divine. Being divine, you will be at one with the Tao. Being at one with the Tao is eternal. This way is everlasting, not endangered by physical death." Unquote. Living with constancy. The 16th verse of the Tao Te Ching describes the value of being supremely conscious of the constant cycle of all. Rather than viewing change as a disruptive, unwanted occurrence, you can choose to view the variances in your world as valuable influences in the cycle of a Tao-centered existence. When you see change as the only constant there really is, you start to recognize it as an expression of ongoing life that's a welcome clue to your own purpose and meaning. In this way, you're returned to the experience of your source and the peace of an impartial perspective. Begin this process by altering your ego-based thoughts and letting yourself feel the bliss of being at one with the Tao. Then become an acute observer of how your world really works and allow yourself to be in harmony with the cyclical nature of all living things. There's an immutable cycle of no life, life, no life that we're all a part of. All things come and then they go. Life materializes in a variety of forms. It's here, and then at some point it ends in what we call death. This coming and going might seem to be a temporary condition, but it's actually the ultimate constant because it never ceases. Embrace this nature of cyclical change and you'll thrive. An ending may feel like a reason to mourn, whether it be the closing of a phase in your life or the completion of a project, the termination of a relationship, or death itself. But Lao Tzu invites you to realize that after things flourish, they return to the source, to what is and what is to be. The constancy of the cycles of life is an opportunity to return to your root, where what is and what is to be are located. The ultimate place of peace and enlightenment is in this continuous return to the nameless, placeless site of your origination. Lao Tzu tells you that a sense of inner peace comes with returning to the source, where all cycles begin and end. This is the fulfillment of your own personal destiny. That is, you're here to know and be the Tao, the constant beyond the comings and goings of things. You've been in many bodies already, and you're in a new one every day. You've been in and out of many relationships, yet the eternal you survives despite transitions from beginnings back into endings. You're now being urged to know yourself as a physical creation and as a piece of the everlasting Tao. The Tao that animates all existence, including your own, is totally impartial. It plays no favorite. It brings winter regardless of whether you want it or not. It sends those you love on to other people and then back, irrespective of your desires to have it otherwise. All of life must return to it. There are no exceptions or apologies. When you're unaware of this steady influence, you attach to one element of one cycle in life, leading to what Lao Tzu calls eternal disaster. When one person leaves you, it feels like the end of the world. When a business venture fails, you flunk out of school, or when you have a painful illness or injury, you feel depressed. If you get trapped in these emotional endings, you're not permitting them to also be a natural part of life, leading you to feel disconnected from your source. You become stuck in the rush of worldly comings and goings, unable to remember the constancy where endings become beginnings. The reality is that beginnings are often disguised as painful endings. So when you know that there's a constant beyond the present moment's disappointment, you can sense that this too shall pass. It always has, and it always will. When you change the way you look at things, the The things you look at change. This is what I believe Lao Tzu seems to be telling you in this 16th chapter of the Tao Te Ching. First, take time to be an impartial observer of life, particularly when an ending is causing despair. Remind yourself that your source is at work within this event, and then make a decision to connect to that source with your thoughts. All endings are part of the cyclical process. You are merely returning to a life of constancy, which Lao Tzu taught in this passage. You don't have to learn anything new or change any behavior or adopt any new strategies. Just think about the word return and take comfort in the ever-constant Tao, which brings peace to despair. The Tao never leaves or disappoints, and it is always impartial. Wherever you are in the emotional cycle, you're not being judged. Rather, you're learning to be in all phases, free of judgment, and living with constancy. And secondly, write these words and post them in a conspicuous place in your living environment. This too shall pass. Four simple words. This too shall pass. This phrase will remind you that change is the only constant in life. Everything you notice is in a cycle of coming and going. Everything. There are no exceptions. Know this and let your thoughts flow in the constancy of change. This is the root, the source of all cyclical happenings. It is perfect. It is divine. It is something you can totally rely upon. It brings spring flowers. It brings the aging process. It brings rebirth. It brings new relationships. It is the Tao, and it is constant. Return to it and experience your eternal essence here and now in the temporary container you call your body, in all of its dramas. This too shall pass. You can count on it. Do the Tao now. Dedicate a day to consciously seeking situations to practice impartially observing endings as beginnings, challenging yourself to find a specific number by noon. Begin in the morning by being aware that the end of a sleep is the beginning of a wake. Break your waking time into sections. Notice without judgings the endings that make space for beginnings. Start to consciously live with constancy by opening your mind to the fact that change is the only certain thing. Remember to include all of your feelings in its cycle. Impartially observing sad, for instance, permits its natural ending to transform to a new beginning. This is called doing the Tao now. The 17th verse of the Tao Te Ching. Quote, "With the greatest leader above them, people barely know one exists. Next comes one whom they love and praise. Next comes one whom they fear. Next comes one whom they despise and defy. When a leader trusts no one, no one trusts him. The great leader speaks little. He never speaks carelessly. He works without self-interest and leaves no trace. When all is finished, the people say, 'We did it ourselves.'" Unquote. Living as an enlightened leader. To reflect the lesson in this verse of the Tao Te Ching means changing how you see authority, which means viewing great or enlightened leaders as those who don't actually lead anyone. Through the perspective of the Tao, such individuals create an environment where everyone feels that they have a personal responsibility to and are a part of the process. By adopting this model of an enlightened leader, you'll be more than likely to alter the ways you criticize and admire captains of industry, government, or religion, as well as the way you guide others. The advice in this 17th verse is directed toward leaders of all kinds. In fact, you can personalize it by substituting the words parent or teacher for leader. Examine the ways that you view your own tactics and then make the changes that are necessary in order to be someone who makes an enlightening difference in the lives of others. First, you must stay in the background and become an astute observer of what's taking place. Then ask yourself how, without interfering, you can create an environment that will help everyone act responsibly. The Tao advises making yourself as invisible as possible if you truly wish to be an effective leader. Thus, perhaps your best strategy would be to actually leave the room and allow everyone else to act without feeling that they need to impress you. Maybe you should offer a slight suggestion and then an immediate departure, a knowing smile or gesture that conveys to the group that you trust in its ability to figure things out might work best. Possibly what's needed is for you to tell a quick story of how others have resolved similar issues. Or you could simply meditate and send positive conflict-resolving energy to all the individuals present. Whatever your decision, you'll be well aware of the need to create an environment where everyone will be able to say We fixed it ourselves without the need for any interference from anyone. We really don't need a supervisor. This approach, of course, involves suspending your desire to be seen as a strong authority figure. Truly inspiring leaders get results by their own example. They encourage others to be responsible and do the right thing, but not by proclaiming and bragging about their unimpeachable management. They create space for others to be inspired and to achieve their own greatness. When the time comes for receiving accolades, they dissolve in the background, wanting everyone else to feel that their accomplishments arose from their own leadership qualities. The supreme Taoist leader always leaves people to choose and pursue their own way of life, their own conception of the good. The view of a self-styled authoritarian is not the way enlightened leaders see themselves. Rather, they raise the energy of an environment through a viewpoint that elevates lower inclinations. In this verse, the Tao offers three other ways of choosing to be a leader. One option is to make a difference in the lives of others, resolving conflicts through love. By being an instrument of love and making an effort to praise others, this leader stays in harmony with the Tao. Those who are praised are inclined to become self-loving and act in a cooperative rather than a competitive fashion. The drawback is that using the approval and affection of a leader for motivation means turning control of one's life over to that leader. But if you see that the choice is between love or fear, the Tao always sees love as superior. The ineffectiveness of fear as a leadership style is obvious. If I can get you to do as I desire by using that weapon, then you'll only behave in those ways as long as I have the power to threaten you. When I leave, my influence over you departs as well. Studies have measured the effectiveness of teachers who were considered strict disciplinarians. Students in this setting were well behaved when the feared individual was in the room, yet when he or she departed, the classroom turned chaotic. The opposite was true of instructors who viewed education as an opportunity to praise and encourage students. Their presence or absence from the room had almost no noticeable impact. This is a great thing to keep in mind if you're a mother or a father. That is, do you want your children to behave only when you're around? Or do you want them to have the self-discipline to conduct themselves wisely whether you're there or not? I've always believed that parents are not for leaning upon, but rather they exist to make leaning unnecessary. The least effective means for managing others is to use tactics that will encourage them to despise you. For the moment they leave your sight, they'll defy all that you say and all that you stand for. Dictators almost always find this out the hard way when the people they've abused rise up to threaten them in the same intolerable fashion in which they've been treated. Children who despise a parent similarly tend to emulate the hateful tactics to which they were subjected, or they detach themselves completely from that dictatorial adult and spend years attempting to heal the scars from the terrible treatment. The enlightened leader trusts those whom he or she is in a position to govern. This view results in trust, as he or she who has faith in the people will be trusted by them in turn. Consequently, they'll be able to say, "We did this ourselves." So raise your children to be self-sufficient, to make their own decisions as soon as they're able, and to feel pride in the decisions they do make. See yourself as an enlightened leader and show the world a new type of leadership. Children who grow up with such a view will be the next generation of great leaders that Lao Tzu describes. Here's what I believe the esteemed master Lao Tzu is offering you today. First, instead of believing that you know what's best for others, trust that they know what's best for themselves. Allow other people to share their thoughts about the path they see for themselves. Let your position be known, but also convey that you trust them to make the right choice. Then step back and peacefully believe that the way you look at this situation will change. Offer praise when those in your charge are making their own decisions, even when their behavior may conflict with yours. Trust yourself to give the best response by not seeing yourself as knowing what's right. Remember this phrase from the Tao Te Ching: when a leader trusts no one, no one trusts him. The surest way to gain the faith of those you govern or supervise is to allow them to make as many decisions as possible. And secondly, take pride in refusing to take credit. If you look at others' accomplishments as a reason for you to be rewarded, promoted, or complimented, change your viewpoint. Let praise go to those who are the beneficiaries of your leadership. Speak less frequently and suspend your self-interest. Instead, allow everyone in your care to speak for themselves. Change how you see their performance from being a credit to your skill to the thrill they exhibit over their own accomplishments. You'll cease wanting credit and, alternatively, feel the happiness and pride that they're experiencing. This is how the great poet Hafiz described it in the 14th century poetry that he composed. Quote, "Even after all this time, the sun never says to the earth, 'You owe me.' Look what happens with a love like that. It lights the whole sky. Unquote. Love those you're entrusted to lead, just as the sun loves our planet. Simply be there to serve, never demanding anything in return. Do the Tao now. Choose some situations with your children or anyone you've been designated to supervise to become an active observer. Nod, smile, frown, or gesture without saying a thing where you previously would have readily interfered. Notice how your active observing impacts those you've been assigned to lead. This is Tao leadership. The 18th verse of the Tao Te Ching. Quote, when the greatness of the Tao is present, action arises from one's own heart. When the greatness of the Tao is absent, action comes from the rules of kindness and justice. If you need rules to be kind and just, if you act virtuous, this is a sure sign that virtue is absent. Thus we see the great hypocrisy. When kinship falls into discord, piety and rites of devotion arise. When the country falls into chaos, official loyalists will appear, and patriotism is born. Unquote. Living without rules. Picture yourself in a world where rules and laws don't exist, where everyone lives peacefully and harmoniously. There's no anarchy, thievery, hatred, or war. People simply live, work, love, and play without needing to be governed. Can you imagine a planet where the need for codes of conduct and edicts to govern the populace are simply unnecessary? This is the sort of idealistic mental meandering that led Lao Tzu to create this 18th verse of the Tao Te Ching, in which he's clearly stating that you don't need rules to be kind and just. I'm suggesting that when you change the way you look at the underlying reason for regulation, the organizations controlling society, politics, and the criminal justice system will eventually change. Need I add, for the better? When you alter your viewpoint to a Tao-oriented one, you cease to see your dominant reason for being and doing as being dictated by your nation or your city, your school, your religion, or even your condominium association. Laws or rules are seen by many as solely responsible for effective kindness, justice, and love. But you can choose to live from your heart, viewing these virtues as individual responsibilities that you adhere to without a statute or convention telling you to do so. This is what I mean by living without rules. You can choose to see yourself in harmony with the regulations and laws of your business or your government or family or your religion rather than because of them. I promise you that when you adjust rule-based thinking to a heart-based attitude, your life will change. In the Tao orientation, unlimited joy, kindness, abundance, and well-being flow through all. Seeing life in this way makes rules irrelevant. You can act in accordance with this munificence and beneficence, which are the essence of the Tao. Make love the bedrock of your family's motivation to be loving rather than just feeling obligated to be kind to others. This doesn't mean there isn't certain etiquette or behavior to follow. It means that the reason to do so is so that love and kindness flow through all individuals. And if there is any crime, it's the stopping or hindering of that energy of the Tao. You and your children can learn to change the way you look at edicts and laws. When harmony is lost, a rule may seem to be helpful, but make sure everyone in the family realizes that you're inviting them to learn to live without it. The existence of codes of conduct are proof that we aren't allowing the Tao to flow freely through our lives. Learning that it is each individual's personal responsibility to live without governing will ultimately demonstrate that when you change your thoughts, you change your life. This idea extends further. Ask yourself if laws create a healthy society and if patriotism is valuable. Or does it appear that when a country has fallen into chaos or some form of civil war, laws and codes concerning patriotism seem to need to be enforced? Rules are created to impose penalties to control or govern people who haven't learned their individual responsibility as a part of the wholeness of the group. Yet a national sense of unity needn't regulate a universal sense. For the Tao, oneness is greater than any group on earth. So here we have a summary of what takes place when the Great Way is deserted. The need for justice arrives. Falsity among the people creates a need for rules, and rulers are needed to restore order. Political ministers appear to bring light to the disorder and darkness. Knowing all of this, I believe it is essential to get back to that picture I asked you to envision a few paragraphs ago and apply what Lao Tzu is saying in this profound verse of the Tao Te Ching. First, let your actions arise from your Tao-centered heart. When you're centered in the Tao, you don't need any rules, nor are you bound by what's declared to be legal or illegal. Your reason for not stealing from others isn't because it's against the law. Rather, you assume personal responsibility for your actions. Your life isn't based on living by rules. Your reason for not stealing is that you respect the rights of others to be free from pilfering because it resonates with the Tao. In the Tao, there is no stealing because everything belongs to everyone. There's no ownership of land or property. There's only the willingness to love and respect everyone and all things. The laws making stealing, maiming, or fighting illegal arose because of disconnection from the Tao. And secondly, don't act virtuous, be virtue. Acting virtuous is not the same as being virtuous, so the Tao instructs you to be authentic in all of your interactions. Be pious, because your own heart feels the piety that is the great Tao. Be spontaneous, generous to others, because your inner calling demands it, not because others in their code-making have determined that this is how you should behave. Don't wait for chaos to erupt before you're generous and kind to others. A natural disaster may simulate your desire to reach out and help your fellow humans. Yet if you change the way you look at that natural disaster, you could also see it as a reminder to let the Tao be your guiding spirit at all times. This would inspire your patriotism to be for all of humanity, rather than confined to the land where you happen to be born. Again, I'd like to remind you of the similar sentiment expressed by Hafiz, the great Sufi poet. Quote, "Everyone is God speaking, so why not be polite and listen to him?" Unquote. And everyone really means everyone, not just those who are subject to your rules and your laws. Do the Tao now. Emphasize why you're obeying human-made edicts today. Spend some time connecting to the underlying reason for stopping at a red light, or having a driver's license, or wearing a seatbelt, or paying to enter a movie theater, or not drinking and driving. See if your ego enjoys breaking rules for its purposes by listing all the rules and laws you obey or disobey in one day, and then identify your most important heart rules. 19th verse of the Tao Te Ching. Quote, "Give up sainthood, renounce wisdom, and it will be 100 times better for everyone. Throw away morality and justice, and people will do the right thing. Throw away industry and profit, and there will be no thieves. All of these are outward forms alone. They are not sufficient in themselves. It is more important to see the simplicity, to realize one's true nature, to cast off selfishness and temper desire." Unquote. Living without attachment. Upon first reading this 19th verse of the Tao Te Ching, it appears that Lao Tzu is encouraging us to abandon the highest principles of the Tao. Renounce sainthood, wisdom, morality, and justice, industry, and profit, says the great sage, and we'll all be well off. Lao Tzu tells us that all of these are outward forms alone and are insufficient for living according to the highest way. The first of these categories represents education and the way you look at your sources of learning. This verse advises you to alter your concept of being saintly just because you follow the teachings of an organized religion, and to change your view of self-importance because of degrees you've received from an educational institution. Lao Tzu gently informs you that it's far more valuable to cultivate your own true nature. As with virtually all of the teachings of the Tao, the greatest trust is placed in your accessing the sacred Tao center of yourself. Within you lies a piece of God that instinctively knows what to do and how to be. Trust yourself, Lao Tzu advises, and reevaluate the ultimate importance of educational and religious institutions. When you modify how you see them, you'll notice that the true essence of you is 100 times better for everyone. Lao Tzu might say that a truth is a truth until you organize it, and then it becomes a lie. Why? Because the purpose of the organization begins to take precedence over that which it first attempted to keep in order. Throw away morality and justice, this verse urges, and people will then do the right thing. Here's the second of the outward forms. Lao Tzu reveals a legal system that takes precedence over your natural internal integrity. When you know that you emerged from an impeccable source of honor and equality, you don't have to rely on a system of justice. Lao Tzu reminds you that it's very important not to view yourself as relegated to an inferior position because laws of morality tell you who you really are. See yourself centered with the perfection of the Tao, which is your nature, rather than needing to consult a law book, a courtroom, or a judge to determine your ethical standing. These labyrinthine systems designed to determine all issues of right and wrong are evidence of our drift away from the simplicity of our inborn nature. The last of the outward forms is the whole world of business. Quote, renounce profit-seeking, give up ingenuity, and discard record-keeping, and thieves will disappear altogether, unquote. So says the Tao. Could be one interpretation. Lao Tzu advises you to stay centered within the all-encompassing integrity of the Tao and to release your view of profits and monetary gain as indicators of your level of success. When you see your life through the perspective of the Tao teaching, you'll have no need to hoard large sums of money. Instead, you'll discover the pleasure of serving others in a spirit of endless generosity. Or as this translation of the Tao Te Ching puts it, you'll cast off selfishness and temper desire. These, then, are the three outward forms, education, justice, and business. You're being encouraged to update how you see the reasons for, the methods used by, and the way well-meaning people have taught to value these arenas of life. When you change how you see them, you'll note the simplicity and sacredness of a higher principle, which will enrich those institutions with the free-flowing Tao. You'll realize your own true nature, you'll cast off selfishness, and temper your desires. Be in the world of education, justice, and business, but not of it, and you'll see the inner world where you're centered in the Tao. This is what Lao Tzu is saying to you through me from his 2,500-year-old perch. First, observe your relationship to systems of education, justice, and business. Notice attempts to compartmentalize you. Are you dependent on a system of reward and punishment for approval? Do the rules and codes of conduct you follow come from a heart-centered space, or are they designed to create a label of specialness? Don't fight these institutional pressures or even the fact that they exist. Simply let go of all attachments to them. You are not saintly or a good person because an organization says so, but rather because you stay connected to the divinity of your own origination. You're not intelligent because of a transcript. You are intelligence itself, which needs no external confirmation. You're not moral because you obey the laws. You are morality itself because you are the same as what you came from. Choose to see the outward forms as poor substitutions for your true nature, and you'll begin to live without attachment to those forms. You'll see your own inner laws, which never require codifying. You'll live with freedom and simplicity. Trust first and foremost in yourself. And secondly, live without attachments by being generous. Let go of evaluating yourself on the basis of how much you've accumulated and what's in your financial portfolio. Stop putting a dollar value on all that you have and do. Let go of your need to get a good deal and choose instead to be a being of sharing. You'll be happily surprised by how nice it feels to simply change your belief that you're only successful if you're making money. The less you focus on making a profit, instead shifting your energy to living your purpose in harmony with everyone else, the more money will flow to you and the more opportunities for generosity will be available to you. The world of institutional pressures is built on an endless list of human-made do's and don'ts. Lao Tzu advocates that you discover your heart's true desire all the while remembering that no one else can tell you what it is. Do the Tao now. Post the following affirmation for your constant attention. I am moral, profitable, and a genius extraordinaire, regardless of what any institutional transcript or bank statement says. Repeat this mantra until it becomes your way of being. You'll feel a sense of inner peace as you release that hold that outer forms have on you. The 20th verse of the Tao Te Ching, quote, give up learning and you will be free from all your cares. What is the difference between yes and no? What is the difference between good and evil? Must I fear what others fear? Should I fear desolation when there is abundance? Should I fear darkness when that light is shining everywhere? In spring, some go to the park and climb the terrace, but I alone am drifting, not knowing where I am. Like a newborn babe before it learns to smile, I am alone, without a place to go. Most people have too much. I alone seem to be missing something. Mine is indeed the mind of an ignoramus in its unadulterated simplicity. I am but a guest in this world. While others rush about to get things done, I accept what is offered. I alone seem foolish, earning little, spending less. Other people strive for fame. I avoid the limelight, preferring to be left alone. Indeed, I seem like an idiot. No mind, no worries. I drift like a wave on the ocean. I blow as aimless as the wind. All men settle down in their grooves. I alone am stubborn and remain outside. But wherein I am most different from others is in knowing to take sustenance from the Great Mother. Unquote. Living without striving. In this verse of the Tao Te Ching, you're encouraged to experience your life free of worldly striving. Lao Tzu advises you to slow down your incessant demands for more and to relax your efforts to fill up every moment in anticipation of being somewhere else. You're invited to experience life in a way that can be summarized in the title of Ram Dass's book, Be Here Now. Be here in your mind as well as in your body, in a state of appreciation and an absence of longing. Let go of wondering about doing the right thing. Release the what-ifs and all of your goals for the future, replacing them with the power of this instant. Be here, and remember to do it now. For thinking about being someplace else uses up your precious present moments. The enlightened sage makes a practice of immersing himself completely in the current nowness of his life. Being here now is accomplished by adopting an acceptance of life as it is presented by the Great Mother, or the Tao. It's a surrendering process, if you will. Simply allowing this great, all-creating, all-nourishing source to take you where it will. You give up the idea of having to get more or to be in another place in the future, and instead, you see yourself as whole and complete, just as you are. This surrendering process allows you to bear witness to the unlimited abundance and eternal light that is always present. You retrain yourself to give up your beliefs about lacks and shortages. You instead trust in the great source to provide what you need, as it always has done for all beings. Lao Tzu emphasizes that this wasn't a socially accepted standard even 2,500 years ago, as he refers to himself as an outsider who is unlike most people. Striving for satisfaction was viewed at that time as a proper role in life, just as it is today. The narrator of this verse admits that he is drifting, not knowing where he is, yet his tone is ironic. It's as if he's saying, no one really knows where they are in this endless universe with no beginning and no ending, so why not admit it and allow yourself to be moved by the Tao that brought you here from nowhere? You're being encouraged to simplify your life by not seeking another thing. Yes, others might judge you as unmotivated and call you an ignoramus, but your reward will be the strong sense of inner peace that comes from a direct knowing that you're here as a guest who's always being provided for. Yes, you may seem to be missing something, but the something is really only an illusion. You're no longer living inside of yourself with a desire to be someone else or to gain something that seems to be omnipresent in all of those around you. You've traded in striving for arriving. I accept what is offered, says the narrator of this provocative verse in the Tao Te Ching. He continues to express that this may seem foolish, perhaps echoing your thoughts as you contemplate letting go of striving. Lao Tzu is telling you to change how you see what's here now in your life, for then it will actually become exactly what you need in order to be happy. In other words, you can change how you look at striving and have contentment without anxiety and fear. When you live by the tenets explained in this verse, you begin to have a worry-free existence. Imagine that. No concerns, no fears, only a sense of being connected to the source of all, knowing that all will be handled for you by the same force that's always handling everything. Lao Tzu is teaching you to free your mind from its persistent nagging. The world and everything in it are already taken care of by the Tao. It has always done so, and it always will. Your mind continually urges you to strive in spite of the all-providing perfection of the Tao. It prompts you to pursue fame, to look for a groove or a purpose. Lao Tzu encourages you to do precisely the opposite. Stay outside the rat race and let your mind be in peaceful harmony with the Tao rather than worrying and fighting. The concluding line of this passage of the Tao Te Ching says it all, instructing you to change how you look at your life by knowing to take sustenance from the Great Mother. The following are suggestions coming from Lao Tzu to you in the 20th verse of the Tao Te Ching. First, practice letting go of thoughts about what's not here now. Just allow yourself to meld into the perfection of the universe you live in. You don't need another thing to be happy. It's all being provided for you right here, right now. Be in this moment and free yourself of striving for something more or someone else. This is a mind exercise that will put you in touch with the peace of the Tao. Affirm, it's all perfect. God's love is everywhere and forgets no one. I trust in this force to guide me, and I'm not allowing ego to enter here now. Notice how free you feel when you relax into this no fears, no worries attitude. And secondly, take time to let go and let God every single day. Say the words over and over to yourself until you can actually tell what the difference feels like. Letting go is a markedly distinct physical and psychological experience, much different from striving. Let go of your demands, along with your beliefs that you can't be happy because of what is supposedly missing in your life. Insisting that you need what you don't have is insane. The fact that you're okay without what you think you need is the change you want to see. Then you can note that you already have everything you need to be peaceful, happy, and content right here, right now. Relax into this knowing and affirm again and again, I'm letting go and letting God. I am a glorious infant nursing at the great, all-providing mother's breast. Do the Tao now. Begin to notice the situations where you're not in the moment because you're striving to complete or attain something for a future benefit. You may not realize how often you endeavor to accomplish all sorts of things with the idea that once you do, you'll finally have the time to be and do what you really, really want. This is one of the most pernicious ways that many of us unconsciously prevent or perpetually postpone a life free of striving. It's a tough one to become aware of and may be easiest to see when your free time becomes hijacked by family members or business emergencies. Here's an example. You've put in extra hours at work all week in order to have a deliciously imagined free day. When you learn that your spouse has invited a friend of a friend who's never been to this part of the country before and whom you've never met to stay in your home. There are two opportunities to practice living without striving in this situation. The first, of course, is to catch yourself wrapped up in striving for future benefit. Notice what you're doing and focus on the now. The second comes after the example above, which is a difficult but incredibly rewarding exercise. Do the Tao now by accepting what is offered. That is, know that the situation in some way that your striving ego rejects is actually sustenance from the Great Mother. Relax and let go and allow. The 21st verse of the Tao Te Ching. Quote, the greatest virtue is to follow the Tao and the Tao alone. The Tao is elusive and intangible. Although formless and intangible, it gives rise to form. Although vague and elusive, it gives rise to shapes. Although dark and obscure, it is the spirit, the essence, the life, breath of all things. Throughout the ages, its name has been preserved in order to recall the beginning of all things. How do I know the ways of all things at the beginning? I look inside myself and see what is within me. End quote. Living the elusive paradox. Here in this 21st verse of the Tao Te Ching, Lao Tzu takes us back to the book's very first premise, living the mystery. He has returned to the idea's definition and virtue and reaffirmed it with greater clarity and precision. In this lesson, he not only asks us to become conscious of the elusive nature of the Tao, a principle that simply cannot be pinned down or experienced with the senses, but to also validate this awareness by recognizing ourselves as examples of this elusive paradox. Reread the concluding lines of this important verse. How do I know the ways of all things at the beginning? I look inside myself and see what is within me. Now go all the way back to your own beginning. How did you get here? I don't mean from a droplet or particle of human protoplasm. Go even before that. Quantum physics teaches that particles emerge from an invisible and formless energy field. So all creation, including your own, is a function of motion. From formless energy to form, from spirit to body, from the nameless Tao to a named object. The process of creation, along with the theme of understanding eternal namelessness, runs throughout the Tao Te Ching. This is the elusive paradox that you're invited to contemplate, allow, and experience. You can know it by examining your own nature and recognizing that the same principle that creates everything is animating your every thought and action. Right now, make a simple decision to move your index finger. Now wiggle your toes. Next, lift your arm. Finally, ask yourself, what is it that allows me to make these movements? In other words, what is it that allows you to see shapes and colors? What force behind your eyes invisibly signals you to process the sky as blue or a tree as tall? What is the formless energy that tweaks a vibration somewhere in your ear to give rise to sound? What it all is formless and nameless. Yes, it is vague. Yes, it is obscure. And when you begin to see the world in this manner, you begin knowing that aspect of yourself. This is what Lao Tzu describes as the life breath of all things. And it needn't remain a mystery. You have the same eternal Tao inside of you, and you apply it a million times a day. It's within you. It is you. This far-reaching verse of the Tao Te Ching asks you to let go of seeking results in money, accomplishments, acquisitions, fame, and so on. Instead, shift your attention to the energy in the beginning of all things, the elusive and intangible Tao. The greatest virtue is to find this nameless, formless force within yourself, know it by looking within, and seeing it at work in all of your thoughts and actions. This is what Lao Tzu was conveying to you more than 2,500 years before your birth. First, have an unquenchable thirst for the intangible and enigmatic force that supports all of life. Communicate with the source regularly. Ask for its guidance and meditate on its sacredness. The more you practice benevolent reverence for the invisible Tao, the more you'll feel connected to it. The presence of a known connection with the Tao will release you from the worry and stress and anxiety that are ego's way of looking at the world. While others around you may stay focused on their pursuit of wealth and fame and power, you'll notice it and smile compassionately as you practice being in a state of appreciation for the life breath of all things, including yourself. You'll feel safe and secure knowing that you're in a divine partnership with the all-knowing, all-providing Tao. I suggest that you simply take a moment or two several times a day to say aloud, "Thank you, God, for everything." Make this your own personal, respectful ritual. In fact, just a moment ago I said these very words, "Thank you, God, for allowing these words to appear, supposedly from my pen. I know that the source of everything, including these words, is the elusive and intangible Tao." And secondly, memorize the final two lines of this verse and silently recite them when needed. Repeat these two sentences. How do I know the ways of all things at the beginning? I look inside myself and see what is within me. Doing so will remind you that the Tao comes from the truth that's inside of you at all times. Give up trying to persuade anyone else of the correctness of your vision. When they're ready, their own teachers will surely appear. Here's a concluding thought on the elusive nature of the Tao written by Hafiz many centuries before the death of Lao Tzu, the great Sufi poet. Hafiz, quote, "If you think that the truth can be known from words, if you think that the sun and the ocean can pass through that tiny opening called the mouth, oh, someone should start laughing. Someone should start wildly laughing. Now." End quote. Do the Tao now. Today, become conscious of the force that allows your every movement. For 5 minutes in your meditation, stay in the gap between your thoughts and notice the elusive but omnipresent invisible source that allows you to speak, hear, touch, and move. I personally have created a meditation that can assist you in this process, and it's included in my book called Getting in the Gap. The 22nd verse of the Tao Te Ching, quote, "The flexible are preserved unbroken, the bent become straight, the empty are filled, the exhausted becomes renewed, the poor are enriched, the rich are confounded. Therefore the sage embraces the one. Because he doesn't display himself, people can see his light. Because he has nothing to prove, people can trust his words. Because he doesn't know who he is, people recognize themselves in him. Because he has no goal in mind, everything he does succeeds. The old saying that the flexible are preserved unbroken is surely right. If you have truly attained wholeness, everything will flock to you. Unquote. Living with flexibility. Having lived by the ocean for many years, I've observed the beauty and majesty of the tall palm trees that grow at the water's edge, often measuring 30 or 40 feet in height. These stately giants are able to withstand the enormous pressure that hurricane-force winds bring as they blow at speeds up to 200 miles per hour. Thousands of other trees in the huge storm's path are uprooted and destroyed, while the stately palms remain fixed in their rooted selves, proudly holding sway over their otherwise decimated domain. So what is the palm tree's secret to staying in one piece? The answer is flexibility. They bend almost down to the ground at times, and it's that variability that allows them to remain unbroken. In this 22nd verse of the Tao Te Ching, Lao Tzu invites you to embrace a similar quality of elasticity. Begin to sense the oneness that is the Tao supplying your resiliency and grounding, helping you to withstand the storms of your life as pliantly as the supple palm tree. When destructive energy comes along, allow yourself to resist brokenness by bending. Look for times you can make the choice to weather a storm by allowing it to blow through without resistance. By not fighting, but instead relaxing and going with all that confronts you, you enter the Tao time. This verse implies an added benefit of wholeness, which attracts everything to you. That is, if you want abundance, knowledge, health, love, and all the other attributes that personify the Tao, you need to be receptive to them. Lao Tzu instructs you that you must be empty in order to become filled, for attachments keep you so restricted that nothing can enter your already filled self. Being empty in this sense means not being full of beliefs and possessions or ego-driven ideas, but rather remaining open to all possibilities. This is in keeping with the nameless Tao. It doesn't restrict itself to a particular point of view or a singular way of doing things. It animates all. Similarly, the flexible person is open to all possibilities. There's nothing for him or her to prove because the Tao, not ego, is in charge. Awareness of the Tao nurtures flexibility, and removing your rigidity creates an atmosphere of trust. When you live from the perspective of being able to say, "I don't know for certain, but I'm willing to listen," you become a person whom others identify with. Why? Because your flexibility lets them see that their point of view is welcome. By being open to all possibilities, everyone who encounters you feels their ideas are valuable, and there's no need for conflict. As you connect more and more to your Tao nature, you begin noticing that this principle is perpetually present, available in every moment. In other words, the Tao isn't trying to get someplace other than where it is. It has no goals, no desires, no judgment. It flows everywhere because it's the energy of creation. To be in harmony with the Tao is to be free of goals, immersed in all that you're doing without concern about the outcome, just noticing in each moment and allowing yourself to flow with the creative source that's energizing everything and everyone in the universe. When you live in this way, failure becomes an impossibility. How can you fail at being yourself and trusting completely in the wisdom of the source of everything? With failure removed from your life, you understand what Lao Tzu means when he says that everything he does succeeds. Following are the messages from Lao Tzu as he wrote out this 22nd verse of the Tao Te Ching 2.5 millennia ago. First, change the way you see the storms of your life. Work at removing ego as the dominant influence over you. Release the need for the attention of others and witness how people become drawn to you naturally. Let go of having to win an argument and being right by changing the atmosphere with a statement such as, "You're very likely correct. Thanks for giving me a new perspective." This kind of a proclamation gives everyone permission to relax their rigidity because you have no need to prove yourself or to make others wrong. If you change the way you think, the life you're living will change. So be willing to say, "I don't know," or "I'm uncertain as to why I even did what I did." As Lao Tzu reminds you, when you suspend your pomposity and your rigidity, others recognize themselves in your flexible nature, and they'll trust you. And second, imagine yourself as a tall, stately palm tree. Be an organism without goals and objectives. Instead, stand strong and successful, capable of adjusting to the forces of nature. Be willing to adapt to whatever may come your way by initially allowing yourself to experience that energy, much like the bending tree in hurricane-force winds. When criticism comes, listen. When powerful forces push you in any direction, bow rather than fight, lean rather than break, and allow yourself to be free from a rigid set of rules. In so doing, you'll be preserved and unbroken. Keep an inner vision of the wind symbolizing difficult situations as you affirm, I have no rigidity within me. I can bend to any wind and remain unbroken. I will use the strength of the wind to make me even stronger and better preserved. This simple teaching is so pleasant that you'll wonder why you didn't realize it before. In the Tao time, acknowledge the storm and then allow it to be felt in your body. Observe it without judgment, just like the tree bends in the wind. As rigidity reappears, notice that as well, allowing the winds to blow as you exercise the Tao in place of ego. Seek to uncover the root of your stiffness and achieve greater flexibility in the storms of life. When seen as this kind of opportunity to open to the Tao energy, storminess can be transformed into exhilarating events that uncover more and more of your own true nature. Do the Tao now. Listen to someone express an opinion that's the opposite of yours today. It could be on any of a variety of topics such as politics, the environment, religion, drugs, war, the death penalty, or what have you. Refuse to impose your position and instead remark, I've never considered that point of view. Thank you for sharing your ideas with me. By allowing a contrary position to be heard, you'll dismiss ego's attitude and welcome the flexibility of the Tao. The 23rd verse of the Tao Te Ching. Quote, to talk little is natural. Fierce winds do not blow all morning. A downpour of rain does not last the day. Who does this? Heaven and earth. But these are exaggerated, forced effects, and that is why they cannot be sustained. If heaven and earth cannot sustain a forced action, how much less is man able to do so? Those who follow the way become one with the way. Those who follow goodness become one with goodness. Those who stray from the way and goodness become one with failure. If you conform to the way, its power flows through you. Your actions become those of nature, your ways those of heaven. Open yourself to the Tao and trust your natural responses, then everything will fall into place. Unquote. Living naturally. Everything that composes ultimately decomposes. Notice that I put the emphasis on the word thing. That's because all things on earth are temporary and in a constant state of change. Since you're on this planet, you too are a part of this always changing and always decomposing principle. In this 23rd verse of the Tao Te Ching, you're asked to observe the ways of nature and then make the choice to live harmoniously with them. Nature doesn't have to insist, push, or force anything. After all, storms don't last forever. Winds blow hard, but then they subside. The Tao creates from an eternal perspective, but everything is on its return trip home the moment it comes into being. So Lao Tzu instructs that if you live harmoniously with this simple principle, you'll be in tune with nature. Let go of a desire to force anyone or anything, and choose instead to consciously be part of the cyclical pattern of nature. Lao Tzu reminds you that not even heaven can sustain a forced action. In its inherent beingness, all action has a temporary existence and returns to a calmer state. In contemporary language, we'd say that everything blows over, ultimately. The teachings of this passage invite you to pause in the midst of strife or tension and remember that serenity and peace are on the way. This verse emphatically points out that you always have a choice. In every single situation, you can choose to observe exaggerated and forced energy. It might be verbally attempting to control a situation or cursing how life's events are unfolding. Regardless, these moments can be invitations to open to the Tao, even while in the midst of chaos and angst. This is how to follow the way. Remember how nature blows hard and then returns to calm. Follow the goodness of the Tao and you become goodness. Stray from goodness and you become one with failure. You are part of the law of form in time and space, composing and decomposing. Everything in nature is returning to its source. The question is, do you wish to participate consciously with this natural goodness, or would you rather spend your moments in anxiety and failure? The Tao response to this crucial question isn't within your ego, for it strongly believes in your ability to force things, to make things happen, or to be the person in charge. The Tao points out that the way is responsible for everything, with a naturalness about it that isn't forced. It reminds you that what seems so devastating in the moment is benevolent perfection in another moment. When you conform to the naturalness of the universe, you cooperate with this all-creating power that flows through you. Suspend ego-driven plans and instead participate in the power that created you. Allow it to be the guiding force in your life. Here's what Lao Tzu says to you through me from this 2,500-year-old perspective in this verse of the Tao Te Ching. First, change your life by actively observing nature's way. See how thunderstorms or fierce winds are temporary conditions that pass, instead of thinking of them as destructive or inconvenient events. When what seems like a forceful, uncomfortable situation arises, seek the natural cycle. Affirm, this is a temporary setback. I am going to release myself from having to be the person in control. Then observe what you're feeling with openness to what is in this moment. Remember that this is nature's method. Center your mind in a natural way, in perfect rapport with the patience of the universal Tao. And secondly, change your life by trusting your ability to respond naturally to the circumstances in your life. At first, this may involve observing yourself in a friendly way instead of responding immediately. When you feel your inclination to make your opinion known, let this urge silently tell you what it truly wants. Your body knows how to be at peace and wait out the storms of life, but you need to allow it to feel that you're welcoming in its signals. Be still and allow yourself to be in harmony with the creative Tao, opening yourself to its power. T.S. Eliot evokes the natural cycle in his poem Ash Wednesday. Quote, because I know that time is always time, and place is always and only place, and what is actual only for one time and only for one place, I rejoice that things are as they are. Unquote. That's the idea. Rejoice in the stillness of the Tao. Do the Tao now. Spend an entire day noticing nature and the countless instances that it cycles organically. Seek at least three ways that you'd like to be more natural in your response to life. The cat curling languidly in the sun might symbolize how you'd like to be, or perhaps it's the dawn slowly illuminating the dark without rushing. Maybe you prefer to focus on the tide comfortably coming in and out, apparently without judgment. Find your symbolic images, whatever they may be, and invite their counterparts in the Tao to blossom within you. The 24th verse of the Tao Te Ching. Quote, if you stand on tiptoe, you cannot stand firmly. If you take long steps, you cannot walk far. Showing off does not reveal enlightenment. Boasting will not produce accomplishment. He who is self-righteous is not respected. He who brags will not endure. All these ways of acting are odious, distasteful. They are superfluous excesses. They are like a pain in the stomach, a tumor in the body. When walking the path of the Tao, this is the very stuff that must be uprooted, thrown out, and left behind. Unquote. Living without excess. In this verse, Lao Tzu advises that the path of the Tao needs to be cleared of any weeds of excessive personal importance. After all, accomplishments derive from the all-creating source that Lao Tzu calls the Tao. Everything that you see, touch, or own is a gift from the Tao. Thus, it is your duty to suspend your ego and seek an attitude of gratitude and generosity for the Tao's creativity. In this way, you walk the path of the Tao by becoming like it is, which is always existing in a state of unlimited giving. It is to this state that the 24th verse of the Tao Te Ching urges you to return. Notice how the natural flow of the Tao operates. It asks nothing of you as it provides you and everyone else with unlimited supplies of food, air, water, sunshine, land, and beauty. It is always creating for the benefit of all, and it has no need for prideful boasting or demanding something in return. This poem by Hafiz, the great Sufi poet, bears repeating here to illustrate this point. Quote, even after all this time, the sun never says to the earth, you owe me. Look what happens with a love like that. It lights the whole sky. Unquote. The sun symbolizes the Tao at work. It offers its warmth, light, and life-giving energy to all, illuminating the globe without any demand for recognition. Imagine if the sun needed attention and demanded accolades for its efforts. It would shine only when it felt most appreciated or when it received payment for that life-giving energy. Soon the world would be partially shut off from the sun's magnificence, and ultimately the entire planet would be covered in darkness as wars erupt over ways of appeasing the sun god. It's easy to see why Lao Tzu refers to such inclinations to be boastful and self-righteous as odious and akin to a tumor in the body. Walk the path of the Tao by being a giver rather than a taker, providing for others and asking nothing in return. Then view your desires to brag and seek approval as weeds appearing on your journey. Seeing yourself as important and special because of your artistic talents, for instance, is walking the path of ego. Walking the path of the Tao means that you express appreciation for the hands that allow you to create a sculpture. This is how Lao Tzu advises you to walk the path of the Tao, free of your ego-driven desires to be recognized for all of your efforts and accomplishments. First, change your life by consciously choosing to be in a state of gratitude. The journey of your life will change when you emphasize gratitude for all that you are, all that you accomplish, and all that you receive. Practice silently repeating, "I thank you," throughout your waking hours and as you fall asleep and awaken. It really doesn't matter whether you're thanking God, Spirit, Allah, the Tao, Krishna, Buddha, the Source, or Self, because all those names represent the great wisdom traditions. Give thanks for the sunshine, the rain, and your body, including all of its components. Have a brain, heart, liver, and even a toenail appreciation day. Your practice of gratitude helps you focus on the real source of everything, as well as notice when you're letting ego dominate. Make this a silent daily practice. Give thanks for the bed, the sheets, the pillows, and the room you sleep in at night. And in the morning, say, "I thank you for what lies ahead." Then begin this beautiful day doing something kind for another human being someplace on the planet. And secondly, change your life by examining your urge to boast and be self-righteous. When you're about to brag to others about your credentials, your accomplishments, momentarily sense the urge and recall Lao Tzu's advice that this is the very stuff that must be uprooted, thrown out, and left behind. On the Tao path, inner approval is healthy and pure, while self-righteous boasting is simply superfluous. When you notice your gloating habit, you can choose to get back on the Tao path by remembering this 24th verse of the Tao Te Ching. Pomposity and self-inflating comments can then be seen as weeds you really have no need for. By returning to radical humility and seeing the greatness within everyone, you've then cleared your life of the excessive self-importance. And this is the way of the Tao. Do the Tao now. Tomorrow morning, do something expressing your kindness to someone who will be totally surprised by your actions. Email someone expressing your love and appreciation. Call a grandparent who may be feeling lonely in an assisted living facility. Send flowers to a loved one who's alone, or even a stranger if necessary. Note how your gratitude for another truly nurtures your Tao path, not that of your ego. It's a great way to start each day. The 25th verse of the Tao Te Ching. Quote, "There was something formless and perfect before the universe was born. It is serene, empty, solitary, unchanging, infinite, eternally present. It is the mother of the universe. For lack of a better name, I call it the Tao. I call it great. Great is boundless. Boundless is eternally flowing. Ever flowing, it is constantly returning. Therefore, the way is great, heaven is great, earth is great, people are great. Thus, to know humanity, understand earth. To know earth, understand heaven. To know heaven, understand the way. To know the way, understand the great within yourself." Unquote. Living from greatness. Many of the scholars who have written about the Tao Te Ching over the centuries consider this 25th verse to be one of the most significant lessons in the entire manuscript. In my research, all the translations of this passage actually include the word great to describe it. This verse tells the story that even before the beginning there existed something formless and perfect. It goes on to say that this formless perfection is the mother of the universe. Even though it's nameless, it's called the Tao, and it's synonymous with what is great. That is, there's nothing within the Tao that is the opposite of great. There's nothing that's puny, insignificant, weak, unimportant, or even average. The story appears to want the reader to realize there's a pure, timeless energy that's within everything on the planet and that remains uncontaminated by the solid appearance of form. The conclusion is a directive to the student who is you, the reader, or the listener. To know this formless perfection, you must understand the great within yourself. You're the central character in this wonderful saga. Since you're animated by the eternal Tao, this tale's message of greatness invites you to change the way you live and to see the life you're living change. You can begin to do so by examining thoughts and ideas that are inconsistent with this phenomenal observation made by Lao Tzu, which has been echoed by others throughout history. In her book, The Journey, which was published in 1954, Lillian Smith describes it like this, quote, "The need that one feels every day of one's life, even though one does not acknowledge it, to be related to something bigger than oneself, something more alive than oneself, something older and something not yet born that will endure through time," unquote. That enduring something confirms your greatness, your absolute connection to the infinite. There's a sense of being permanently aligned with a sort of senior partner that is greatness itself. Lao Tzu advises you to notice the planet, its people, and the heavens, and see greatness. Next, look at yourself and see that you're a component of them all. That is, befriend what appears to be the great mystery of creation by discovering the greatness within you. Then bask in the joy of noting the greatness you share with heaven, earth, and all of its people. By persistently hanging on to your own greatness heritage, you ensure that the always-present Tao is consciously available. From a perspective of greatness, only greatness can emerge from you. From an inner perspective of inferiority, you only attract events that align with those beliefs. Your greatness won't be found in a classroom, an apprenticeship, a teacher, or flattering comments from well-meaning family members, friends, or even lovers. It's within you. It's crucial for you to become conscious of the greatness that constantly flows through you. To do so, meet it in meditative moments of gratitude and cease to be influenced by contrary points of view. In particular, watch and listen for the critical comments that originate from your own inner dialogue. When such thoughts emerge in your mind, let them tell you what they want. If you allow those not-so-great notions to speak, you'll always discover that what they really want is to feel good. Give them the time they need to trust that there's no payoff for their existence, and they will happily merge into the greatness within you. Accessing this quality allows you to participate in the greater whole, where the power of the Tao flows unimpeded by fearful self-judgment. Change the way you live by tapping into this greatness, and the life you're living will literally change. Following are the thoughts that Lao Tzu would have you adopt as he wrote out this verse of the Tao Te Ching some 25 centuries ago. First and foremost, trust in your own greatness. You are not this body you occupy, which is temporarily on its way back to the nowhere from which it came. You are pure greatness, precisely the very same greatness that creates all of life. Keep this thought uppermost in your mind, and you'll attract to yourself these same powers of creation. The right people will appear. The exact events that you desire will transpire. The financing will show up. That's because greatness attracts more of its own self to itself, just as thoughts of inadequacy act upon a belief that ensures that deficiency will become your reality. Affirm the following to yourself over and over until it becomes your automatic inner response to the world. I come from greatness. I attract greatness. I am greatness. And secondly, look for beliefs that contradict your status as a being of greatness. Catch yourself in the midst of any utterance that reflects your belief that you're average. Silently speak warmly to that belief and ask what it wants. It may think it has to protect you from disappointment or pain, as it probably did earlier in your existence. But with continued accepting attention, the feeling will always eventually admit that it wants to feel great. So let it. You're good enough to withstand the passing disappointments and pain that afflict life on this planet. But trying to protect yourself by believing that you don't embody greatness is overkill. Look for these misbeliefs and give them the chance to transform to what they and you really want. Whatever you desire to become or attract to yourself, make the internal shift from "it probably won't happen for me" to "it's on its way." Then begin the process of looking for even minute evidence that what you desire is indeed on its way. It's crucial to keep this ancient axiom in mind. I get what I think about, whether I want it or not. So think about how fortunate you are to have greatness located within yourself. Now you can live the ultimate paradox. You can be greatness and be nobody simultaneously. Do the Tao now. Copy the following words and apply them to yourself. I came from greatness. I must be like what I came from. I will never abandon my belief in my greatness and the greatness of others. Read these words daily, perhaps by posting them conspicuously where you can see them. They will serve to remind you of the truth of your own greatness. Meditate for 10 minutes today, focusing on your inner greatness. The 26th verse of the Tao Te Ching, quote, "The heavy is the root of the light. The still is the master of unrest." Realizing this, the successful person is poised and centered in the midst of all activities. Although surrounded by opulence, he is not swayed. Why should the lord of the country flit about like a fool? If you let yourself be blown to and fro, you lose touch with your root. To be restless is to lose one's self-mastery. Unquote. Living calmly. In this chapter of the Tao Te Ching, you're being advised to maintain a sense of serenity regardless of what you may see taking place around you. Moreover, you're being told that the true master knows that the ability to stay calm is always located within. From this perspective, there's no need to assign responsibility to others for how you feel. Even though you may live in a world where blame and fault-finding are endemic, you will own your feelings and actions. You will know that circumstances don't determine your state of mind, for that power rests with you. When you maintain a peaceful inner posture, even in the midst of chaos, you change your life. The wisdom of this verse of the Tao Te Ching prompts you to know that you have a choice. Do you want to be in a state of confusion or to have a tranquil inner landscape? It's up to you. Armed with this insight, the Tao Master doesn't allow an external event to be a disturbance. Lao Tzu tells you that assigning blame for your lack of calmness will never bring you to the state of being that you're striving to attain. Self-mastery only blossoms when you practice being aware of and responsible for what you're feeling. This particular part of the Tao Te Ching is one that you'll probably want to immerse yourself in repeatedly. After all, what could be better than the freedom of going through life without feeling that people and circumstances control you without your permission? Are you depressed, irritated, frustrated, exhilarated, ecstatically in love? Whatever your current state, if you believe that a changing economic picture or a tapestry of events taking place around you is responsible, and you then just use these external factors to explain your inner state of mind, you've lost touch with your root. Why? Because you're allowing yourself to be blown to and fro by the shifting winds of circumstances. The solution for a life of unrest is choosing stillness. The quiet of the Tao is oblivious to any turmoil in the world of the 10,000 things. Be like the Tao, advises Lao Tzu. The still is the master of unrest. You have a choice in every moment, so you can decide to be a host to God and carry around with you the calmness that is the Tao, or you can be a hostage to your ego, which insists that you can't really help feeling disorderly when you're in circumstances that resemble pandemonium. Here's what Lao Tzu offers you in this profoundly simple message from the profoundly simple life he chose 2,500 years before yours. First, vow to seek a calmer inner response to the circumstances of your life. In the midst of any kind of unrest, be it an argument, a traffic jam, a monetary crisis, or anything at all, make the immediate decision that you will find the calm center of yourself. By not thinking of what is taking place and instead taking a few deep breaths in which you opt to empty your mind of judgments, it becomes impossible to mentally flit about like a fool. You have the innate ability to choose calmness in the face of situations that drive others to madness. Your willingness to do so, especially when chaos and anger have been your previous choices, puts you in touch with the master of unrest. There was a time when I thought this was impossible. Now I know that even in the most troublesome of times, my reaction is to choose stillness, the way of the Tao. And secondly, don't lose touch with your root. With a written declaration or picture placed strategically in your home and workplace, remind yourself that no one can make you lose touch with your root without your consent. Affirm the following often. I have the ability to stay poised and centered regardless of what goes before me. Then vow to put this new way of being into practice the next time a situation of unrest crops up. Do the mental work in advance, and you'll achieve the self-mastery that Lao Tzu refers to in this verse. more significantly, you'll be in harmony with the Tao, which is your ultimate calling. Do the Tao now. Sit in a quiet place and picture the one person with whom you have some kind of long-standing conflict sitting there before you. Now say out loud directly to him or her, I forgive you. I surround you with love and light, and I do the same for myself. This will put the message of the 26th verse of the Tao Te Ching to work for you by bringing about a sense of calm in what previously looked like chaos. The 27th verse of the Tao Te Ching. Quote, A knower of the truth travels without leaving a trace, speaks without causing harm, gives without keeping an account. The door he shuts, though having no lock, cannot be opened. The knot he ties, though using no cord, cannot be undone. Be wise and help all beings impartially, abandoning none. Waste no opportunities. This is called following the light. What is a good man but a bad man's teacher? What is a bad man but a good man's job? If the teacher is not respected and the student not cared for, confusion will arise, however clever one is. This is the great secret. Unquote. Living by your inner light. For just a moment, imagine your most valuable possessions, including a large cache of money, on a table in your bedroom and in full view of anyone who might come in. Now further imagine that your pile of precious jewelry, cash, and important documents is completely safe. There's no need for insurance, and no one could ever possibly steal your treasure. Is this state of complete trust possible? I think so, especially since it's encouraged in this 27th verse of the Tao Te Ching. The door, says Lao Tzu, though having no lock, cannot be opened. The knower of the truth lives by an inner light. This illumination shines on the fact that stealing isn't the way of truth, so it's unnecessary to lock anything up. Possessions are safe among those who live by an inner light, which reflects the perfection of the Tao. It's the source you're encouraged to always carry with you and to consult when you feel the need for assistance or direction. Lao Tzu advises you to give without keeping an account or expecting something in return, for this is the nature of the Tao, and you are of the Tao. Giving is synonymous with receiving when you live by this illumination. Trust the inner light to guide you, for it is your heritage. Your origin is more from the Tao than from parents, culture, or country. It's also important that you live more spontaneously. You don't need to neatly wrap up each detail of your life. Understand this, and you can travel without being attached to a plan that covers every possible scenario. Your inner light is more trustworthy than any guidebook, and it will point you in the direction that's most beneficial to you and everyone you encounter. When you develop a trust in the Tao, you'll change the way you look at life. You'll marvel at the brilliance and clarity of what you begin to see. Fear, anxiety, stress, and unrest will simply become facets of yourself seen in the glow of the Tao, like candles marking your way and helping you love everyone as a piece of yourself. Lao Tzu advises you to be wise and help all beings impartially, abandoning none. That is, you don't need anyone else's rules in order to reach out to others. Giving of yourself becomes your natural response because you're following the inner light of the Tao. You and giving are one. You and receiving are one. In such an arrangement, there is no one who is not you. The most revealing lines of this verse remind you that a good man is but a bad man's teacher, and a bad man is but a good man's job. This is an extremely empowering way to see life and eliminate stress and anger. If you perceive yourself to be a good person, then those whom you call bad, including convicted felons or enemies on the other side of the world, are your job. Try on the view that you're here to teach yourself and others in some way, and that the work is to raise the collective energy of our entire universe. Cultivate your awareness of the inner light that's within all. Be the Tao. Virtually every translation of the Tao Te Ching I've examined refers to all of us being one, and all of us needing to be there for each other. The great secret is this: waste no opportunity. Abandon no one. Respect the teachers and care for the student. 2,500 years later, the Tao remains elusive to most of us because it's so infrequently practiced. Nevertheless, it must be instilled within us if we're ever to truly walk in the luminosity of the Great Way. Become a knower of the truth, as Lao Tzu advises, by forgetting the locks and chains and maps and plans. Travel without leaving a trace. Trust in the goodness that is the root of all. And rather than curse the darkness that seems so rampant, reach out with that inner light and let it shine on those who aren't seeing their own legacy in the Tao. From his ancient spiritual throne, Lao Tzu is telling you to practice in these new ways. First, trust in yourself. Develop an inner code of conduct that's based exclusively on your irreversible connection to the Tao. When you trust this wisdom that created you, you're trusting yourself. Know that nothing could ever dissuade you from your internal code of honesty, and live by this standard. If you encounter an easy opportunity to cheat, perhaps because you've been handed too much change by a hurried cashier, make the decision to be down to the penny honest. Furthermore, have faith in yourself to go on a trip with a minimal amount of planning. Allow yourself to trust in the energy of the Tao to guide you, rather than relying upon fixed plans arranged by someone else. And secondly, don't judge yourself or others. Don't criticize the behavior or appearance of those you've assessed to be bad people. Instead, switch your thoughts to something along these lines. I am my own student, and I have this opportunity to learn that I'm instructing rather than judging. I will now cease critiquing myself or any others and teach by being the Tao. If the entire world of the 10,000 things knew the simple truth that we are all one, then in my opinion, war, hostilities, confusion, and even illness would cease to exist. Why not be one individual who chooses to respect yourself and all others as teachers and as students? When you see the world as full of opportunities to help, one thought and one action at a time, you'll be living by your inner light. Once again, the great Sufi poet Hafiz speaks of this in his poem, No More Leaving. Quote, at some point, your relationship with God will become like this. Next time you meet him in the forest or on a crowded city street, there won't be any more leaving. That is, God will climb into your pocket and you will simply just take yourself along. Unquote. Do the Tao now. Find one person labeled bad and use that opportunity to do your job. Be a teacher by reaching out and sending a loving message to him or her. Perhaps you could pass along a book, write an email or letter, or make a phone call. Just do one thing as a good person today, even if it's for a stranger living in a prison cell. He or she is your assignment right now. The 28th verse of the Tao Te Ching. Quote, know the strength of man, but keep a woman's care. Be a valley under heaven. If you do, the constant virtue will not fade away. One will become like a child again. Know the white, keep to the black, and be the pattern of the world. To be the pattern of the world is to move constantly in the path of virtue, without erring a single step, and to return again to the infinite. One who understands splendor while holding to humility acts in accord with eternal power. To be the fountain of the world is to live the abundant life of virtue. When the unformed is formed into objects, its original qualities are lost. If you preserve your original qualities, you can govern anything. Truly, the best governor governs least. Unquote. Living virtuously. In this verse, the word virtue is synonymous with nature or the Tao. By being one with nature, the sage is in concert with the Tao and is a virtuous person in daily life. Here Lao Tzu speaks about your personal path and also a Tao-oriented way of governing others. These others could be your family members, fellow employees, business associates, friends, and even the entire process of government if you're in a political position. In fact, much of the Tao Te Ching is focused on teaching all of us how to create an administration that is in accord with these highest principles of the Tao. It is my most fervent intention to spread these teachings throughout the world in such a way as to facilitate a transformation of all of those who call themselves leaders and are destined for or presently in positions of power. Every person has the inherent capacity to spark massive changes that can lead to the tranquility, harmony, and peace that are our heritage. Lao Tzu calls this preserving our original qualities. Such qualities require the least amount of government, So it seems natural to see that we rule best by allowing our Tao nature, which rules the least, to flourish. Living virtuously is what you do when you're permitting the Tao to guide you. The advice Lao Tzu gives for doing this is contained in four distinct images in this verse. First, he says, "Be a valley under heaven," is number one. Let the river of life flow through you. As a valley beneath heaven, you're a fertile place of grace where everything is received and allowed. You might see it as the lowest area in the spectrum of the 10,000 things, or as the point where you can see all things flowing above you. In this place of humility, the constant virtue of the Tao will never fade away. For me, this means living from radical humility. So get down, if you can, to the eye level of a small child, looking up, see if original qualities are more visible. Be like the valley under heaven, ready to embrace and tend the seeds that blow your way. Secondly, be the pattern of the world is the second image that invites you to live virtuously. See nature unspoiled by culture as in the perfection of the uncarved block of wood. The pattern of the world, untouched by humans, is the design of the Tao. So rather than insisting on changing or resisting, you're encouraged to row your boat and your life gently down the stream. Trust the perfection of the Tao to take you merrily back to your perfect place of origination. Lao Tzu is basically saying to let go and let the Tao. Dismiss ego, which you've created, and allow yourself to be in the world by changing how you look at the world. And three, act in accord with eternal power is the third image for living virtuously. Just contemplate for a moment the idea of a fountain of the world which never fades, never ends, and is there beyond the comings and goings of the 10,000 things. This kind of power is the one to create and then retreat, to form and then to render formless. It's always there, an endless geyser gushing forth the abundant life of virtue. You are in accord with eternal power when you suspend your ego and become conscious of the Tao flowing in this fountain of you. Picture yourself pouring forth, not from your ideas of self-importance and your need for external power over others, but from a ceaseless source of good and virtue that's in harmony with your infinite nature. Change the image of yourself to a being who's in accord with eternal power, and the virtuous life you want to see will become visible. And fourth, preserve your original qualities is the fourth image of living virtuously, and one that I happen to love. Your original qualities are those that were you before there was a you. This is what Jesus meant by, quote, "And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began," end quote. That's John 17:5. Imagine, if you can, what is meant by "before the world began." The original qualities Lao Tzu speaks of are the love, kindness, and beauty that defined your essence before you were formed into a particle and then a human being. In other words, living virtuously has nothing to do with obeying laws or being a good citizen or fulfilling some externally inspired idea of who you're meant to become. This insightful verse of the Tao Te Ching tells you how to live virtuously. Be a valley under heaven by being humble and allowing seeming opposites to flow through you. Be the pattern of the world by seeing the pattern of your world and living in harmony without imposing ego on others. In accord with eternal power, be a fountain of the planet by consciously pouring forth from the endless ocean of goodness and virtue that's your birthright. And preserve your original qualities by reclaiming and reacquainting yourself with the Tao essence which preceded your birth into form and is your original quality. Here's what Lao Tzu offers you from his 2,500-year-old perspective in this 28th verse of the Tao Te Ching. First, entertain the exact opposite of what you've been conditioned to believe. Instead of striving to see yourself as superior to others, perhaps choose the self-image of a valley. From this grounded, fertile, and receptive position, be willing to hear and receive. Listen intently when you're inclined to offer advice. Be a humble earth source rather than a lofty, ego-inspired person. In the last line of the 28th verse, Lao Tzu is clear on this. Truly, the best governor governs least. This isn't advice to lower your opinion of yourself, but rather to see yourself as so strongly connected to your source of being that you know and trust that you're a piece of it. And secondly, replace all negativity with love. Khalil Gibran, the spiritual Lebanese poet, once advised that, quote, If you cannot work with love, but only with distaste, it is better that you should leave your work and sit at the gate of the temple and take alms of those who work with joy. Unquote. Actively begin the process of preserving your original qualities by being an instrument of spirit, particularly in places where you find it easy to forget your own virtuous self. And do the Tao now. Be childlike at least once a day. Deliberately select a typically stressful situation and become a valley of heaven. Play rather than work, even while you're at your job. Giggle rather than maintaining a solemn air. Be in awe for a moment or two. For example, find a spider web and just gaze at the miracle before you, a tiny little creature spinning a perfect net bigger than it is in order to catch airborne bugs for dinner. Wow! The 29th verse of the Tao Te Ching. Quote, do you think you can take over the universe and improve it? I do not believe it can be done. Everything under heaven is a sacred vessel and cannot be controlled. Trying to control leads to ruin. Trying to grasp, we lose. Allow your life to unfold naturally. Know that it too is a vessel of perfection. Just as you breathe in and breathe out, there is a time for being ahead and a time for being behind, a time for being in motion, and a time for being at rest, a time for being vigorous, and a time for being exhausted, a time for being safe, and a time for being in danger. To the sage, all of life is a movement toward perfection. So what need has he for the excessive, the extravagant, or the extreme? Unquote. Living by natural law. This verse speaks of a natural law that's unaffected by ego. The message, you're not in charge, you never have been, and you never will be. So you're advised to let go of any ideas you have about controlling anything or anyone, including yourself. It's a difficult lesson for most of us to learn. As Lao Tzu puts it in the beginning of this verse, I do not believe it can be done. Nevertheless, here's one of the world's most famous scientific minds, Albert Einstein, commenting on this law. Quote, the scientist's religious feelings takes the form of a rapturous amazement at the harmony of natural law, which reveals an intelligence of such superiority that, compared with it, all the systematic thinking and acting of human beings is an utterly insignificant reflection. This feeling is the guiding principle of his life and work. Unquote. It is to this feeling that I urge you to turn as you put into practice the wisdom of the 29th verse of the Tao Te Ching. Tuning into this rapturous feeling of amazement at the sacred perfection of the world helps you to realize your desire to control anything or anyone. Doing so will allow you to live in the harmony of natural law, as Einstein describes it. Lao Tzu reminds you that everything under heaven is a sacred vessel, needing no input from you. Since you're also a part of everything, you may need to change the way you look at your life and all that has transpired in it, as well as your vision of the future. Whether you agree or disagree, whether you like it or not, all of it is outside of your ego's domain. It's all unfolding according to the same natural law that causes the seasons to follow one another, the moon to look as if it rises and falls, the whales to traverse the oceans, and the birds to migrate and return without benefit of a map or human-made guidance system. When you look at your life in this way, you'll begin to see it unfolding organically. The Tao is a natural law, not some controlling force that's manipulating you. In The Tao of Philosophy, Alan Watts reminds us that Lao Tzu once said, quote, the great Tao flows everywhere, both to the left and to the right. It loves and nourishes all things, but does not lord it over them, unquote. The Tao is the informing principle of God, not nature's lord and master. A power-hungry and ego-dominated control freak, it's not. Feeling superior is a human creation. The Tao doesn't act as boss, forcing itself on you or anyone. It simply allows all of creation to reveal itself with perfect timing. and all that is revealed is sacred because it's a piece of the ego-free Tao. I suggest that you create some quiet time to re-listen to this verse and reflect on the sacred nature of everything in your life. Include past experiences that you've blamed for preventing you from having the abundance, health, or happiness that you've wanted and even expected. Ponder the advice that there's a time for it all. Just as you must breathe in to breathe out, you may experience what it is to be ahead by also having a being behind experience. All of those times that you felt betrayed, abandoned, abused, frightened, anxious, or incomplete, they all came about according to a natural law that also led you to feel cared for, protected, loved, comforted, and whole. There's a time for everything, including what you're experiencing today. Begin recognizing that every moment of your life is in accordance with the divine Tao. By doing so, you'll shift from judgment and perhaps anger to gratefulness for being able to feel both exhausted and rested, scared and safe, unloved and cared for. All of it is a part of the natural law. Your ego mind tries to protect you from pain by insisting that you can learn to eliminate some aspects of your life. However, the sage within you desires to be more harmonious with the perfection of the Tao. How do you allow this? Lao Tzu urges you to avoid the extremes, the excesses, and the extravagant, and know that all is unfolding perfectly, even if your thoughts tell you that it's imperfect. Those thoughts must also have their own time, and in the natural flow, they'll be replaced by new ones, which will show up on time as well. Here's what I believe this verse from Lao Tzu offers you from its 2,500-year-old perspective. First, give up needing to control. Begin a conscious program of surrendering and allowing your world and everyone in it to do as they are ordained to do. Surrendering is a mental process. It involves taking a split second to stop yourself in your mode of judgment or frustration and have a brief talk with yourself on the spot. Just remind yourself to step back and be a witness rather than a protagonist, which you can do by providing a sanctuary for the feeling you're judging. Invite divine natural order in by simply allowing what you're experiencing to go forward without criticism or control. In this way, you move to the center. Think of the need to control as a signal to allow the Tao to flow freely through your life. At first, your ego mind may loudly scoff at the idea of the Tao being responsible for the perfect unfolding of everything. It's up to you to recognize that your belief that ego can control life is an illusion. And secondly, practice recognizing that there's a time for everything. When you're in the middle of a tough moment, repeat the lines given to you by Lao Tzu. I do this in yoga practice when I feel exhausted holding a position for what seems like a too lengthy period. I remind myself that there's a time for being exhausted and there's a time for being vigorous. This frees me immediately from my demanding ego, which is saying, you shouldn't be feeling this tired. You can do the same thing in any moment in your life. Experiences of pain, loss, fear, anger, and even hatred seem to vanish when you remember that this is a part of the perfect blossoming of natural law, and there will soon be a time for comfort, peace, and love. Apply this verse of the Tao Te Ching by creating your personalized statement when you observe things such as crime, AIDS, hunger, and war. Try something like this, quote, yes, there seems to be a time for such things, and I choose not to remain in extremes of resentment and anger. But there is also my desire to do something about these circumstances. That feeling is also a part of the natural law unfolding. I choose to act on my inner desire to rectify these conditions. By remaining internally peaceful and avoiding the extremes, I will impact the world in the same loving way that the Tao eternally manifests from love and kindness. Unquote. It's not what you see around you that keeps you connected to the Tao. It's understanding how this eternal flow works. As Ralph Waldo Emerson put it, quote, by atoms, by trifles, by sots, heaven operates. The needles are nothing. The magnetism is all. Unquote. Do the Tao now. Find a place where control is all-consuming and relinquish it today. Stifle your inclination to interfere, reminding yourself as you do so that there's a time for everything and that you're becoming more adept at observing peacefully rather than taking over. Post this advice by Naomi Long Madgett, where you can read it, and be constantly reminded of your desire to live naturally. Quote, I wouldn't coax the plant if I were you. Such watchful nurturing may do it harm. Let the soil rest from so much digging, and wait until it's dry before you water it. The leaf's inclined to find its own direction. Give it a chance to seek the sunlight for itself. Much growth is stunted by too eager prodding, too eager tenderness. The things we love, we have to learn to leave alone. Unquote.